As the U.S. commemorates its centennial of entering World War I, KCSB's reporter Almarika Raffinelli speaks with historian Kenneth Huff about the geopolitical landscape leading up to the war. This is part two of the interview.
One of the reasons why I think it's fascinating that the United States gets involved, or the fascinating way that the United States gets drawn into the war, is because of a fanciful plot that the Germans hatch. And I guess we know it today as the Zimmermann Telegram. This was sent by the German Foreign Secretary, who's basically, you know, kind of in charge of foreign affairs for Germany. His name is Arthur Zimmermann. And he sends a coded message to the German ambassador to the United States named Bernstorff, with the idea was that to pass on this message to the Mexico, to get Mexico on the side of the Germans in the war. Because what happens is, even though that Germany has pledged that they would not be sinking ships with submarines in unrestricted warfare, They see themselves in a precarious situation in early 1917. They're on their last legs. They see, though, that Britain and France are also on their last legs as well, and they get kind of a boost. The Russians drop out of the war. So the Germany throughout all World War I was fighting on two different fronts. They were fighting on the Eastern Front against the Russians, and they were fighting on the Western Front against the British and the French for the most part. And now Russia has dropped out. So all of the German troops that were fighting on one side can now be added. And so they have a gambit. They have this idea that if they could just put their all into it for 6 months, they could probably destroy the British and the French ability to make war, and the Germans would at least come out of the war with something. They may get something out of it. So what they suggest is this idea that how do we keep the United States out of this war? They want to sink ships because that's all of the material that's going in to aid the Allies. So that's a big part of their plan. But the Americans already said that if the Germans start sinking, U-boats start sinking the ships, that we will come involved in the war in some way. How to keep the United States out, how to do it in, you know, just a six-month gamble here? Well, someone comes up with a plot, and it's maybe Arthur Zimmermann, and it might have even been the Kaiser or some of the military leaders who were involved, but they basically send a coded message saying, if the Mexicans agree to join Germany in the event of the United States getting involved in the war, and then Mexico declares war on the United States, Germany will win the war, they will give Mexico a lot of money, and more importantly, they will give Mexico Arizona, Nevada, and Texas. These territories that they had lost in the 1840s during the Mexican-American War. And there's also a possibility that they would give California to Japan, because in this coded message there's some suggestion that the Japanese would also ally with Mexico in this. This was completely ridiculous. It was never going to happen. Mexico was in the middle of their civil war, one of the worst civil wars, modern civil wars that have ever happened. They had no military might at all. Plus, while they did have some dealings with the Germans, they didn't have like a traditional connection to Germany necessarily in that sense. And so this was something that was not going to happen. But what ends up happening, it is a bombshell that is used by the British. The British have done something sneaky, and they are – I mean, we talk a lot about wiretapping today. Well, the British were wiretapping us. There were transatlantic cables – that were coming from Europe to the United States. And the German cables have been cut. That was one of the first things that the British did at the beginning of the war. So the Germans can't use their own cables to communicate with their people in the Americas. So we have this, and I mentioned this before, that we have an agreement. The United States has an agreement with the Germans that they can use our cables. But Wilson believed that they would be using it for peace negotiations. Here, they transmit an anti-American message along these lines. But the problem for the British is, how do they tell the Americans that they have this message, this explosive message that suggests that the Germans, or at least the Mexicans, are going to invade the United States with German aid? How do we transmit this and maybe push the Americans to get involved in the war without showing that you've been reading American mail? And so that could blow up in your face too. Well, the Germans did a lot of dumb things. One of the things that they do is they will admit that they had actually sent this telegram when it comes out, and the British will manufacture a story, basically, that they stole this message from Mexico. And they somehow were able to pilfer the message, and then they decoded it, and they gave it to the Americans to decode it for themselves. And at first, it's not believed. It seems to be a British plot. But then, Arthur Zimmerman says, yes, we sent it. I sent that message. No real clearly reason why that he admitted to that, but that definitely pushed the United States into a position where we could see ourselves going to war, because here the Germans are saying that they might invade the United States. Woodrow Wilson goes from being if not a diehard isolationist, then just someone who wanted to stay out of European affairs or stay above them. He realizes that, again, the Germans are making the world a militarized, dangerous place. Oceans don't protect us anymore. They're getting involved in intrigues in the Americas, right, in the Western Hemisphere, which is also a longstanding argument that the United States had the right, seemingly, to protect the Western Hemisphere against foreign invaders, mainly European, right? Because we had been invaded both during the Revolutionary War and then the War of 1812. We didn't want that to happen anymore. And so now he has this argument. He's got some ammunition for his argument to get involved in the war. He releases it to the newspapers. And so in March of 1917, this is a month before the United States declares war, Americans all over the United States are reading about this plot. And some of them think it's real and some of it think it's a hoax. But that, plus the dropping out of Russia, plus the resumption of unrestricted submarine warfare, where the Germans again start sinking any and all basically ships that come into Europe that are mainly giving aid and comfort to the British and the French, those three factors are what basically draws the United States into the war.
So, Wilson.
Yes.
He claims U.S. involvement was necessary.
Yeah.
Because it was the U.S.'s responsibility to make the world safer for democracy. Do you believe this was the true impetus for U.S. involvement, or were there ulterior political motives at play?
Surely, Wilson was aware of the other concerns that were involved, but of a lot of presidents, he was probably the most of the high-minded that we've had, within the last 100 years, who really kind of believed his own rhetoric in some ways. He was a huge moralist. He believed, for instance, Wilson allowed, and this will play into how the United States get involved in the war, but Wilson allowed the Germans to use our transatlantic cables so that they could continue to send messages to their consulates in the Americas, including the United States, specifically because he believed that the United States having stayed out of the war and remaining fairly neutral, although somewhat leaning towards Britain and France, but that the United States could mediate this war, that eventually the Germans and the British and the French would come to their senses and they would come and ask the United States to settle the war for them. And he hoped to oversee that. And so that's one of the reasons why he allowed the Germans to use their cables. Now, of course, that's going to sort of blow up in his face. But yeah, I think he did believe it. I think he saw what Wilson sees is a war that is consuming the world, and a war in which autocratic powers, mainly the Germans, but also potentially the monarchies of Russia and even Britain and France, who had severely curtailed any kind of civil liberties at the time, it was becoming an autocratic world. If the French and the British were defeated and the Germans were able to carve out their slice of Europe, then you'd have the United States would be the lone democracy or anything that resembled a democracy in the world that had any kind of power, and then the U.S. would be imperiled itself. And so I think he was thinking in the long term, and what would that be? What would that be for American trade? Could the United States hold its own? And what would that mean for the United States to hold its own against an autocratic power, a belligerent militaristic power like the Germans were? The United States would have to become a major military power. And I think for Wilson, his in the long run, he thought it would be better to get involved in the war so that we could avoid becoming a military nation, where we would have a long, you know, a standing army, which was not a U.S. tradition. It used to be after all wars, the army would be reduced down to a very small size. And he was worried that what would happen if, you know, we're spending so much money on our military and, you know, not as much money on our domestic issues. And he was a progressive too. So he really did have a focus on progressive concerns, domestic concerns within the United States. And so I think he was seeing this as the lesser of two evils in the long run. But he also realized that it would take something much larger than a German sinking a ship with Americans on board for us to get involved in the war, because even at the time, there were a lot of Americans, and there were a lot of German Americans, I should say, that were, you know, were thinking that the British were trying to get us involved in the war in some way. The British were consistently delivering to us all of these little tidbits of propaganda, some of them true, some of them less true, but all of them were showing how bad the Germans were acting in the war. And because the British were thinking, you know, anything that maybe would play to Americans' sense of morality would be important to get the United States in the war, because the British need guns and they need unrestricted supply of war materials like guns and armaments and medicine, and they need men too. They are tapping into, after 3 years of tapping into their own population, they're running out. You know, they don't have fresh troops anymore. Who has troops? The United States, right? There's millions that they could draw on potentially for that. So how the British start sending us things like, you know, stories of German atrocities. When the Germans invaded Belgium, they killed a lot of civilians, and they destroyed, Renaissance-era churches. And, some of that was true. Some of what the British came up with was severely overinflated, the numbers. One of the major coups before 1917 that the British give us is a medal that the Germans had minted to give to the crew of the submarine that sunk the Lusitania. So even while the Germans are apologizing for this because they don't want to anger the United States, and they're hoping that if we're not even on their side, that at least we'd be neutral in the war. So they apologize for sinking the Lusitania. It seems like in their own country that they're actually celebrating this. And a lot of Americans thought that that was an atrocity because men, women, and children got killed in this, non-combatants. And so the Germans had actually made a medal to give to the crew as if they had done something heroic. And the British found out about it, and they made duplicates of it. And they showed it in the United States. And it fanned the flames of anti-German sentiment here. So that's what the British have been doing all throughout. So Wilson is realizing, you know, in some sense, you know, that maybe oceans don't protect us anymore, that we are closer to Europe, we're closer to Asia than we think. And if we can't stay out of the war or can't avoid becoming something that we don't want to become in terms of being a militaristic power, then maybe we should go into the war in our own way. And so he starts crafting the idea that if we're going to go in, we're going to reform the world. Just like the progressives wanted to reform the United States internally, all of the ills that existed in American society, a government could solve that. Well, maybe American government was so good and such a government on a hill, right? You know, this kind of longstanding idea that America was above the fray, that maybe we could reform the world and we would stop these kinds of wars from happening. And so he will eventually come out with a very delineated set of points. They're called the 14 points, and these are his idea for what a reformed world that would not descend into world wars would look like. And so it was one thing that at least he could go out there and say, well, we wouldn't normally go to war, but we would do this in this case so that we could save the world, basically.
So how would you compare American foreign policy today? Mm-hmm. To American foreign policy during this World War I era?
Very different. 100 years ago, the United States' influence on the world is important, of course, and we are becoming an up-and-coming power, but we're no superpower. We are an important industrial power, of course, Germany and England and France, to a certain extent as well, too, are just as important, if not more important at the time. So we have some leverage, but we don't have this kind of traditional position of being setting the tone for or thinking that we should set the tone for the diplomacy that exists in the world. So World War One is kind of the jumping off point there for that. And it's really just a kind of a taste of it because it doesn't really happen until after World War II. So Wilson experiments with it, gets involved in it. And the reason and the way that we get dragged into the war is kind of interesting. I mean, that's the scheme that the Germans had come up with. It's fascinating to me that, you know, what it takes to get Americans brought into wars. You know, how do we actually find ourselves? You know, whether it is out of a sense of a duty or it's out of a fear of being attacked. You know, rumors have played a part, and certainly, you know, that played a part in the war. So you could argue that maybe a lot of American foreign policy, specifically with World War One, and then again World War Two, was either the fear of attack or the shock of an attack. So sometimes, you know, we know that World War Two, the Americans get drawn into that because of Pearl Harbor, you know, this very clear attack. Sometimes the Zimmerman telegram was talked about as being a kind of a World War One version of Pearl Harbor, which is a little bit exaggerated, but it's almost it's kind of that sense of things. And if you look at what we hope to accomplish during World War One, which is to make the world, according to Wilson, to make the world safe for democracy, which means to preserve democracy at all costs by winning the war, that is very much what FDR is arguing in a different sense, or with different words, I should say, during World War II. And maybe that is what we have consistently been arguing since the end of World War II. Whether or not we actually rise to those ideals, there's always this concept that, you know, for whatever reason, America should set the moral tone in the world. And it certainly was clear during the Cold War. I mean, that was the rhetoric, at least, was that this was somehow going to be to the world's betterment in some ways. The United States knows better. Now, of course, we have seen lots of examples in the 100 years, you know, since World War One, of where we might argue one thing, you know, idealistically, and the realities are actually, you know, pretty starkly different. But at least maybe it could be the story that we tell ourselves, that we want to believe that America is doing good things in the world.
That was KCSB reporter Amerika Raffanelli speaking with Kenneth Huff about the events leading up to World War One and all the major players involved.